Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
And welcome here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And sometimes that is a smooth sailing, and sometimes your ass is in a sling, my man. People talk about speaking the truth. Let me tell you something about the truth, because I know a little bit some, I know how to.
Hold on, slow down.
Right. I know.
Slow down.
I know a little something about the truth.
All right.
This much I do know. When you speak the truth, if you don't have your ass in a sling to the point where you are worried about either your employment, your life, really sweating some aspect of your life, you haven't spoken any truth at all.
Wait a minute, man. Why has it got to be like that?
Because that's what truth, real truth. I'm not talking about, hey, the sun comes up where does the sun come up?
In the west.
Okay, thank you. Now I know it's the east.
Why?
Because I just go opposite of what you say.
You're a dumbass, man. Well,
you are like my ex-girlfriend. I ever tell you about my ex-girlfriend? Pardon me for just, ladies and gentlemen, I just want to go off of the, don't let me forget, I'm talking about truth, okay, Robert?
Let me write it down.
Write that down. All right. So anyway, I was with my ex-girlfriend, and this is 30-plus years ago. We're in the forests of, believe it or not, Florida. And I say believe it or not, I don't mean any disrespect. Florida has forests. Florida has pine forests, and it has some very lovely forests. In fact, if you've ever driven the Sunshine State Parkway up north through the center of the state, you see some rather beautiful ranch land and rolling hillside, and you do see these beautiful green pine forests that the state of Florida has. There's also a hiking trail in Florida. And I went on this hiking trail one weekend with my girlfriend at the time. Her name was Barbie. She is a great gal. She worked as a director at one of the local TV stations. I was a disc jockey, and Barbie, and we were in our 20s, and she was, working. She directed the nightly news, and she did a lot of stuff for them. So, and she was a hiker, and I liked it, but I hadn't been out hiking in so many years, and because I was a really old man at the time of whatever I was, 28, and or probably younger. So
you hadn't been, you're not old there.
But the point I'm trying to make is, bud, even at 26, I was sitting on my ass not doing much. Anyway, she's got a map, and she's also got us on the Florida Trail. And the Florida Trail has, just to make it even easier for you, has markings on it so you know you're going on the Florida Trail. All right. And those markings, in some instances, are nothing more than a blue strip, just a swipe of paint on a tree, blue paint. Just a small marking, nothing to injure the tree, but just a little marking to show you that you're going. All right. We're walking along, and it's beginning to get into the late afternoon hours. And what we're looking for as we are going to be camping out overnight, and I think we spent two or three nights camping out there on the Florida Trail, she says, we got to find water, and there is water due east. There's water due east. I said, okay. That sounds fantastic as we are walking into the setting sun.
Yeah.
No, not yeah. Not yeah.
No, man, because it would set, the sun set in the west.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. See? So if you're walking directly into the setting sun and someone's telling you, yep, let's go, we're heading east, you know, you don't have to be Christopher Columbus. You ain't got to be James Cook. You don't even have to be a Cub Scout or a Boy Scout to know that is west that I'm going, because there's the sun going down. And I ain't any Daniel Boone either, but I know that that's, where. Anyways, no, this is where the trail leads, though, she said to me. So this was one of these classic moments of someone trusting a map or trusting that the actual information that they had on a map, that they were obviously misreading, was actually the information you should go by, as opposed to your own naked eyes and what. And this is a really intelligent woman, folks. I'm telling you, I knew Barbie to be a very intelligent woman. She's a great, a very admirable woman too. I mean, she was. Her younger brother was living with her. She had taken in her younger brother and was raising him, because her family was such a freaking mess. And she saved that boy's life, I'll tell you, man. Barbie and I would go out places, and we'd sometimes bring him with us. You know, I'm not going to give his name because I don't want to...
Well, just a hint.
I'm not going to give any name. I'm just saying that he was a good young guy, and we were in our late 20s. He was 15 at the time, so maybe it was fun for him to have such younger sort of parent figures or something. But nonetheless, I always admired her for that, and she cared enough about that kid. Sent him to school, you know, and made sure that his homework was done. I mean, this is a 26-year-old woman taking care of her 15-year-old brother. And we were out hiking. And he's with us. And I think he got what I was saying. But, you know, I don't think he would see, you know, he didn't want to say anything. So where I said, like, Barbie, we're heading into the setting sun. Uh-huh. And the sun sets in the west. Well, the trail here, the map says that we need to go this way. All right. Well, and as I think about it, maybe she thought that the map was wrong about going east. But everything else on the map was right, you know?
Yeah, that could be. Like, she thought, man, did she ever tell you, oh, yeah, maybe we're not supposed to go east?
No, she kept on saying, no, it's east. I know it's east. Here, see, here's the map we're going. I said, I know, maybe, but the sun, I just know the sun doesn't change directions, you know? You know, you don't want to be so smart-ass. Ultimately, what's the worst thing is going to happen is you're going to camp out for the night. Oh, there's no water here, and we're going to have to go find some. Well, what happened was, make a long story short, we wound up camping out finally. We finally just stopped and camped out. And I think at that point, she finally realized, you know what? Yeah, we have gone the wrong way. But as it turns out, way, way down this hill, way beyond the, actually, the limits of the Florida Trail and the state park or national park we were in, was a ranch house. And that's where Barbie's younger brother said, you know what? There's a house down there. Why don't I go down there and ask if I could use their hose? I go, that's a great idea. She goes, yeah, you do that. So he took off, and I don't know, you know, half hour later because...
half hour?
Yeah, I mean, it was a long way, you know.
Well, I mean, how'd you see this thing?
Well, it wasn't like I got out the binoculars and I'm Kit Carson going, uh-huh, I think I can see that. I mean, it was far enough away, you know.
Do you get the water?
Yeah. He said he knocked on the door. He said, hi, we're camping. We got lost. You mind if we run some water into our canteens? The guy said, not a problem. So he came back with full canteens. We were good. But we turned around and went the other way. But I thought it was interesting because, you know, we can convince ourselves of a lot of things. Some people are really more trusting of the printed word and what the official document says than what their actual eyes tell them. Now, I'm not trying to use this as some kind of a metaphor for people that have some lunacy ideas. Yes, I can see now where Obama is a psychopath leading us into the arms of a communist revival in Asia. Ha! Thank you, Phil. Thank you very much for giving it. No, I'm not saying that, because if your naked eyes tell you that, I would suggest first you need a psychiatrist, or maybe not that so much as just something else to do with your life. But there are some very obvious things that we don't trust, you know, especially like if we're in a rotten relationship.
Yeah, that's the thing. If you're in a rot, like the other girlfriend I had with the rot relationship, you got to trust your eyes.
Okay, like what?
Yeah, what?
Well, she killed this guy. And when I came in, and she said, you know, meet me at the jail, okay?
Wait. She killed who? Who was this chick anyway?
That was my other girlfriend, Rosaline.
Rosaline. This ain't Vivienne.
No.
So what happened?
She called you up. She wanted you to come down and bail her out?
She said, come to the jail. I said, what? She said, I killed a guy. And I said, okay. And I went down. And then I got home and I got to thinking about it, you know?
Uh-huh. What'd you think about?
Well, I got to thinking, if she killed a guy, and, you know, it took a while.
Yeah, I'll bet it did, man.
What?
How long did it take you?
Well, I mean, a couple of weeks later, it finally dawned on me, you know.
Couple of weeks later, huh? I killed a guy. A couple of weeks later, it dawned on you what?
She would probably be in jail for a while.
No kidding.
What, is that dumb?
Yeah, man, a little bit.
Why?
Hey, bud, when somebody kills somebody, you know.
I guess there was too much to think about. You know, there's a whole bag of feed I had to get. And
a bag of feed?
Yeah, what, was she not the one with horses?
Yeah, I had to feed the horses.
Wow, man. Wow.
What?
I'm glad you got away from that chick. And I'm also glad that nothing came of you. You had to feed the horses. So this is what she told you after she's inside for killing a guy.
Yeah.
Not get me a lawyer.
Maybe, but that the only thing I remembered was get a feed bag.
Still, you go put on a feed bag.
Well, no.
Did she ever get a lawyer?
I don't know. Maybe that's what she asked me to get her.
Oh, that's great. Well, it's probably a good thing you don't know this chick anymore. Do you ever get letters from her? I don't know. Don't tell me, please. God, don't tell me. Yeah, it just dawned on me 2 weeks later. Maybe I had a breakup with her. She killed a guy.
Well.
Anyway, welcome back to the program. 877-876-7445. And we're also going to have a revisit here tonight from, I don't know if we have Larry Grover's mom, Gloria, right? Yes, we do. And she will be talking about the switch in her vote from Mitt Romney to Barack Obama. Her son, Larry, was with us last night. He's the chairman of Conservatives of Kern County, and his mother now, Gloria, will be on with us to talk about supporting Barack Obama. 877-876-7445 is the world-famous Phil Henry Show here at philhenryshow.com as well. Get a backstage pass. Watch our live streaming video. It's such a groovy, you know, it's a groovy kind of love, you know, the thing that we feel.
Yeah, I feel a good love for you. Yeah.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
Yeah.
Let me get her on the phone here. Gloria, how are you?
Hello, Phil.
And Gloria Grover is with us, the mother of Larry Grover, Conservatives of Kern County. Larry is the chairman. And Gloria, we've had you on our show before, and so you're doing well?
Yes, I'm doing very well, and Larry is as well. And I want to thank you for having me on your program this evening. I think it's a very important topic.
It is a very important topic, the topic of our next president. Now, you have moved your vote away from Mitt Romney to Barack Obama, correct?
That's correct, yes.
Why?
Well, I think that Larry is my son, and I love him very much, but he has been a very big supporter of the conservative movement for a long time, and I've always said to him that I want to be taken seriously as a woman, and I want to be taken, I want to be allowed to be a woman, and I've not been allowed to be a woman. I think as a conservative or as a woman who adheres mostly to those tenants.
Was Larry's father, your husband, was he?
Oh, yes.
He was conservative?
Oh, yes. He was Goldwater and Richard Nixon and very traditional, and I followed.
And you voted the same way?
I did. I followed in his footsteps, but I want to be allowed now to be a woman. And I think the way to do that
is to vote for President Obama?
Is to become a member of the Democratic Party. It was really not so much about Barack Obama as it was about the Democrats. And
so this is more of a party shift for you when you're voting for President Obama because he's the obviously the incumbent and the nominee.
That is correct, yes. And I think that there's more potential and more respect for women there.
Now, as I was talking to you before the before we went on the air tonight, and you were talking to me about having to handle the business of the house and the business of your husband's business after he passed on, you were overwhelmed, correct?
And yes.
And that kind of played into.
Yes. What my husband owned three service stations. And at one time...
Gas stations?
Yes, and at one time, it was... they were Gulf stations. They had been standard Chevron stations here in California.
Mm-hmm.
And then they became Union 76. And they were all down in the Palos Verdes area. Even though Larry grew up here in Culver City, Jim would commute down there. When he died, I took over. And immediately I had an awful lot to deal with in terms of taxes and Wall Street and having to understand. And I found myself not understanding a lot of the business terms that the Wall Street people talked about. And we wound up losing the stations and wound up losing our money, the corporations. And fortunately for me, we had a retirement fund that I wanted to use, but the accountant advised me against that.
So the gas stations that your husband owned after he died, you were in charge of?
Oh, yes.
And you lost them?
Yes, we lost them through a series of errors, mismanagement, not good decisions, and eventually we were not able to make payroll. We had to sell the stations at a very big loss.
And this, you say, is the result of having been a Republican wife, a conservative woman.
Yes.
Now, you know Gloria, and we're talking to Gloria Grover. She's the mother of Larry Grover of Conservatives of Kern County. Now, you know there are people who are going to say, how could you possibly attribute that to being a Republican? Republicans are all about business. They're all about...
Yes, I know.
Okay, and they're all about understanding business.
Well, yes, but they're not about women understanding business. I would say to Jim, will you tell me about the business? And he always would pat me on the cheek and, you know, you're too beautiful and I want you to take care of our sons and it's going to make you old before your time. And Jim put a high premium on keeping me feminine. And he felt that if he gave me too much information about business, then the worry would set in, and then you become ugly, you know. And
today, that would be considered very sexist.
Well, it would. And in retrospect now, I see how wrong he was and how cruel that was. For him to tell me how beautiful I was, I guess I should have been flattered, and I was. But now I realize that he was insulting me and holding me back from what I needed to know in order to save those businesses. And now I have a very difficult time thinking of my husband in terms other than how I almost wish he would have died sooner, because I would have had more time to learn.
Do you feel you hate your husband, your ex-husband?
Oh, I'll never hate him, but I don't respect him any longer, and I think he was, in many ways, a very selfish individual, and I should have taken Larry, and I should have taken Christopher, our other son, and just walked out on him and married this another man that I had been seeing at the time, and I don't want to get into that.
Were you unfaithful to him?
I don't want to get into that. But I should have taken the boys and moved in with him. He wanted me to move in with him. Not marry him, but move in with him.
Oh, wait. You don't want to talk about that, huh?
Because it doesn't have anything to do with the marriage that I was involved in with Jim, and the fact that he disrespected me by not letting me be a part of the business. He just wanted me to keep myself pretty and all of that.
But you were cheating on him.
I just don't want to talk about that. I just don't want to talk about that.
All right. That's fair enough. Talking here with Gloria Grover about about what led to this move from the Republican to the Democrats. You haven't yet explained to me how it is a Republican wife doesn't really know about business. You have said...
Jim wouldn't let me.
Yes, you have said that your husband Jim would let you nowhere near the business. But many in the Republican Party would say that you would still have the aptitude, if you applied Republican Party principles, you would still have the aptitude for business.
No, that's not true, because Republican Party principles prevent women from being... I know this now. When I wanted to terminate my pregnancy when we had Chris, and I love my son, but I wanted to terminate. Of course you can't, because it was against the law, but also the Republicans wouldn't allow that. And so I had to have this boy, and that was one more nine-month period that I spent laying on my back and gaining weight and not being able to go and show Jim how to straighten things out at the business as he continued to destroy the very thing.
All right, hold on, Gloria, okay? Hold on, 877-876. Phil, we'll be back here with Gloria Grover and her story of becoming a voter for and a supporter of Barack Obama after years as a Republican. Phil Henry Show. World-famous Phil Henry Show. 877-876-7445. World famous Phil Henry Show. So Gloria Grover is on the line talking with us tonight about her journey, if you will, from being a conservative wife to a liberal what, Gloria? Are you a businesswoman now?
Well, no, I think it's too late for me to go into business now. My son Larry is living here, as you know, and Larry has himself lost a great deal committing himself to the conservative cause.
Isn't Larry's story, though, the story of a guy who was so committed to his political, forget about whether he's conservative or liberal, just his political views, that he lost touch with the rest of his life?
Well, yes, that's true. But nothing, I think, compels a man to lose touch with the things that he loved and the things that give him life, like, I think, the conservative point of view. That becomes an obsession unto itself.
Why do you say that?
I saw a little bit of it with Larry's father, Jim, when he started to become distracted by the Nixon impeachment or the Watergate, you know,
mm-hmm.
That he lost touch with business, and that's when business began to, really, we began to lose the business when Jim was alive, and then he died of a heart attack, but I saw him.
So your husband became obsessed with the impeachment thing, but Larry has gotten obsessed over the years with many political things. I think one of them was Clinton being impeached.
Yes, Larry was, that is what started between Larry and Marcy, his wife, and the girls left, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I said to Larry, I'm not going to have any part of it, and I want to be a woman, and I want to learn about business, and I want to learn about things, and so I decided to become a Democrat.
So what you're saying here tonight, Gloria, and that doesn't need any embellishing, but just to kind of encapsulate it, is that...
And also, Phil, the idea that, you know, in the years that I have left in me, I want to learn about business and bookkeeping and...
Okay, yeah, but what you're basically saying is, without embellishing anything, as a Republican female, you didn't learn a thing about life, and as a Democrat, you will.
As a Democrat, I'm going to be respected as a woman, and I will be cherished, and I'll be allowed to have a business, and if I want to terminate a pregnancy, I'll be allowed. I can't do that now. I'm too old, and as a result, we had a son that was not wanted. And Christopher knows that.
How does he know that? How does your son know that?
His grandfather, my father, made reference to it, and I eventually had to tell him because he said, I know it wasn't planned, and I said, well, you were a bit of a surprise. And
why would you tell him that, though?
Because he suspected it, you know, and then his father, Jim, basically said to him, no, we didn't want you, but we do love you. But
we didn't want you, but we do love you. Now, let me guess here. Christopher, your youngest?
He's the youngest, yes.
All right. Larry's his older brother.
Yeah, Larry's the eldest.
Okay. Let me take a guess. Christopher has some alcohol abuse?
No, he doesn't have any drinking problems. There's no alcohol abuse. He's had severe depression, and he's been in and out of jail for a number of infractions.
But so he's got a violent streak or an unlawful streak?
I would say he's not violent, no. He's just not a trustworthy person. And the doctor said to us that that had nothing to do with him, not we. But if I'd been a Democrat, then I might have been able to abort abort him.
Well, it was illegal, though, wasn't it?
He was born in 1975. So,
all right, well, then that would mean that it was legal because Roe versus Wade was 73. But beyond that, you were talking about...
I don't want to think about that because now you're telling me I could have aborted him and now legally, and now I feel even worse for the fact that I was a Republican.
Yeah, but here's what I want to get to here, Gloria. Republicans have been blamed here now for the fact that you didn't abort a son that eventually became some kind of a reprobate, some scofflaw, right?
A criminal, yes.
Okay, not a violent criminal.
No.
Well, what kind of crimes?
Oh, theft, wire fraud. He was involved in some money laundering. He was involved in, stealing money from the businesses.
Okay. All of this is the fault of you being a Republican because you, your husband was, and you were under the thumb of a husband that wouldn't teach you business. Why didn't you become a Democrat back then?
I was kept under the thumb of a...
Well, no. Why did you not become a Democrat back then?
I'm trying to answer you, Phil. I was kept under the thumb of a Republican husband who did not allow me even the ability to educate myself as to how wrong I was and Jim was and how wrong everything was. So I didn't even have the chance to...
Why didn't you make up your own mind? Certainly you saw the news. Certainly you were watching television. You say that the two of you saw Watergate unfold.
We both did, and we both said that it was President Nixon being persecuted.
So it never occurred to you then?
It wouldn't, because Jim would not allow it. And he would not allow me to draw those conclusions if we were watching television. And I said to him, Jim, it seems to me that President Nixon shouldn't fire all those people or whatever he was doing. And Jim would say to me, you know, I love you as you are. Please don't turn into one of them. And he would point to the screen and say, I love you as you are. You're very beautiful. And I don't want you to lose your looks. A lot of times I thought, was he threatening me? I didn't feel like it.
Threatening you how? That he would beat you up?
No, I don't think so. But... He would always have a look on his face saying, I don't want you to lose your looks. And he would linger with the stare, and the smile would disappear. And
that sounds like a threatening stare.
I don't think so, Phil. It was a man in love with a woman. And
if your husband would say to you, don't be like one of them, meaning with the Democrats.
Yeah, the liberals that he said were persecuting President Nixon.
And he would stare at you and say, I don't want you to lose your looks. And then the smile would disappear, but he'd keep staring.
Yes. He would smile at me and say, Gloria, I love you. You're so beautiful. I don't want you to lose your looks over this. And then the smile would turn into just a straight across mouth, and his eyes would stare and fix on me.
That sounds like a threatening stare.
No.
Yeah. When you are smiling at a woman and you say to her, I don't want you to lose your looks, and then... You know.
See how you're laughing, Phil? You think it's the idea of it's funny, you know?
No, I don't. I just was looking at myself in the camera here. I was doing it, so I don't want you to lose your looks, honey. I don't know. I 877-876-7445, Phil Hendry Show. Let's take a phone call here right now and go to Dave. Hi, Dave. You're on the Phil Hendry Show. We're on here with Gloria Grover, who is the mother of Larry Grover, from conservatives of Kern County. Go ahead.
Ms. Grover, right?
Yes, this is Gloria.
Ms. Grover, you're saying, first of all, I want to say to you that I'm an aspiring police officer. I want to be a police officer, you know, of the LAPD. You know, of the LAPD. And as a police officer, I guess you could say, you know, that I'm, like a lot of ways, I'm a conservative, you know. But I wanted to ask you some questions about you becoming a Democrat. Number one, are you aware of the fact that Democrats most likely are going to be in favor of, like a criminal in a courtroom who might have gone into your house and stole anything you have, or perhaps even, you know, assaulted you? Do you know that they defend the criminal?
Well, I think that they stand for the rights of people.
No. No, they don't. Democrats defend the criminals against the homeowners and stuff. You know.
Well, all right, but can we be fair here that not all Democrats defend criminals?
I think that's a fair thing to say.
No, Mr. Henry, the statistics show that Democrats and liberals are mostly criminal right people. You know.
I think that might have been the case at one time. I think it's changed.
So. All right. So I just want you to know. Are you in favor of you being raped?
Am I...
What kind of a question is that?
Well, you know, Mr. Henry, I mean, if you become a Democrat, you are, basically saying I'm in favor of, of basically, I don't want to sound stupid, I'm basically in favor of raping myself, and,
No, I'm not in favor of raping myself, no.
Well, I mean, if you vote for a Democrat, then you're going to be voting for the criminal,
So in other words, Dave, there is absolutely no chance at all that Democrat. Now, we just had 4 years of a Democratic president, a Democratic attorney general, okay?
Yeah, and they wanted to try Osama bin Laden in downtown New York, too. Just like Mr. Eastwood said.
Clint Eastwood is a reactionary. I don't.
Yeah, see, that's what I'm trying to get you to see, Ms. Grover, that if you become a Democrat, then you're going to be supporting the side that has more criminal rights,
And by the way, Dave, it's criminal, not criminal, okay?
That's what I'm saying, sir. That's what I'm saying, sir.
No, you're not. No, you're not. You're going criminal, okay?
Hold on. What's going on here?
Wait a minute.
Phil, is this Phil Henry? Phil, I've been listening on the radio driving in. Are you, what is going on here?
I've got it, Larry. Okay.
You don't have any. Are you talking to my mother on the air? Is that what you're doing?
Yes, that's what I'm doing. We asked her to be a guest. Isn't she an adult woman? Can't she make her decisions for herself?
Well, I'm listening to the memory of my father being taken and wiped, literally or figuratively. It's being rubbed against, you name it, anyone's crotch. It could be you, my mother. It could be this gentleman, Mr. Olive. But I'm listening to the memory of my father.
Sir, my name is Dave Oliva, sir.
All right, but I'm listening to the memory of my father being taken and just used as a towel to towel off your...
Larry, I am on the radio speaking for myself for the first time in my life, Larry. I lived under your father's thumb.
And get away from that phone.
Larry, please.
No, get away. Go into your bedroom. Go into your room now.
Larry, I'm your mother.
Go into your room.
What do you think you're trying to do, anyway?
Mr. Henry, I run this house, and Mother has been not,
Sir, I want to thank you, sir, for taking it.
Mr. Olive, do you mind? I want to thank you.
My name is Oliver, sir.
All right, sir. I want to thank you for supporting us, Mr. Got it.
My name is Oliver, sir.
Okay, Mr. Oliver, but Mr. Henry, my mother has not been well. She's been talking a lot of foolishness. And I can tell you...
What is this? What am I talking to? Some 1950s movie dialogue we got here? Your mother's been talking foolishness? We had her on the air because she had called and said that she had decided to switch her vote...
Aha! So she called you, huh? Did you instigate this, mother?
Wait a minute, Larry.
I wanted to be my own woman.
Get back in there. Go ahead.
Larry, if you don't let that woman out of her bedroom, I'm going to call the police and tell them... I'm going to call the police and tell them that you're holding someone against their will, and it's elder abuse. You understand?
He's got you there, Mr. Groventine, or whatever your name is.
Just because I called you Olive?
I don't know what your name is.
My name is Grover.
Okay. I didn't mean to mess it up.
I'm sorry I called you Olive.
All right, but I mean, Mr. Harry's got you there, He's got you there,
I do have you there, and I will make good on that threat. Now, you let her out of that room and put her back on the phone where she was.
All she's going to do is maybe...
Get her out of that room and put her back on the phone. I don't give a damn what you got to say.
Give me that phone.
I'm sorry, Mother.
Thank you, Phil.
If he ever pulls that again, you call me day or night, anytime. You understand?
Yes, I will.
And as a matter of fact, I'm not even satisfied yet.
Mr. Henry, can I hang up now?
Yeah. Thank you very much, Dave, for your call.
Yeah, it's my pleasure, Mr. Henry, and I hope someday that I'll be able to.
All right, 877-876-7445. I'm going to just say this and then go to a break. I'm not even done with him. I'm very disturbed and dissatisfied about what he did. Does he do that a lot?
Well, I don't want to say. I wonder what a good answer would be. What would get me the most...
I'm sorry?
Oh, nothing. I think... Phil, let's let it just go.
All right, well, let's hold on. 877-876-7445. Talking here to Gloria Grover, the daughter of Larry Grover, the mother, although in that instance you would have thought she was the daughter of Larry Grover, as we talk about her decision to switch from a Republican to a Democratic vote in this year's presidential elections. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Thank Phil Hendry Show.
Larry Grover, now I'm
on the line. Gloria Grover and Larry Grover has been on the line, and I've had to separate the two of them because what we have here is a woman who has switched her vote from Republican to Democrat in this year's election. You were married to a Republican. You were married to a man that you say was the opposite, really, of what a lot of women experience. He was not abusive. He was...
He was not, Phil. He was a very complimentary man. What you said about how he said, I don't want you to lose your looks.
See, that was the part that sounded a little violent to me, you know.
I don't think so. He would look at me and say, I don't worry about this political stuff, or you know, I want you to be beautiful and not lose your look. And then his face would, he would stop smiling and he would continue to stare at me. For a long period of time, but I consider that to be complimentary.
All right, 1-800-449-8666. Let me take a phone call here. Larry Grover probably is going to want to be back on the line here in a moment. This is Steve. Go ahead, Steve. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, thank you for having me, Phil.
Yes, sir.
This poor lady, deep down, what her issue is she's just backwards. Actually, she's far more a Democrat than a Republican. She's wormy, and the poor lady's been... She don't have a spine. But her son, who's kind of taken over and run her life, I'll tell you what, I'll give you a cell phone to give to her, and when she needs him whip-stitched, jap-slapped, and straightened out, she can call me. I'll come over and straighten that son of hers out, and then the lady won't have any more problems, because once I can sit down with her, and I can get her seeing straight. What do you think?
Let me see. Larry? Larry?
Let me get Larry...
Larry, this gentleman had a message for you.
What gentleman?
The gentleman on the phone here.
Yes, sir.
Well, you can't comprehend what I'm saying to you. Well, look, you got.
I didn't hear what you said because I wasn't listening to the radio. I was told by Mr. Hendry to get away from my own mother, who I told to get into that room. I didn't give her permission to be on the air with this guy tonight.
She's an adult woman.
I'm an adult.
Mother, shut up for a minute, will you?
Well, here's a guy here that takes exception to it.
Who, you?
No, this gentleman I'm talking to.
You, what's your name, sir?
Steve. And you call me Mr. Bottom line is...
You should stay out of my private business, sir.
Hey, when you're treating her bad, it becomes my business. It's just anybody's business if... Messing up
what's
here.
What's going on
like
between you two?
You treat your mother right. What? I'll tell you what.
What's going on between you two?
I'll come over there, put pop knots on your head each time you screw up. And you keep screwing up enough, your shoulder blades will get broken or something.
Well, now, that's a violent terrorist threat that is a federal...
It's not a terrorist threat.
Violation of federal law.
Well, you know what, Larry? He's basically saying what a lot of people are thinking. You treating your mother like that.
Mother wants to become a Democrat. Do you understand? Do either one of you knuckleheads get that? She wants to vote for Barack Obama.
Doesn't make any difference. You don't tell her to go into a room and shut the door and not come out.
I want
to... No, Mother, you may not talk. Now, this guy here that's made a terrorist threat to me...
He's talking the way a lot of people would. Treat a woman like that? What do you think's going to happen?
I didn't didn't do anything to her that my father didn't do. Father used to say to her, because I remember he would say to her, Gloria, shut up and get away from me. And you liked that, Mother.
Oh, your father never said that. He just told me, don't trouble yourself over politics.
You said something, Steve, by the way, that I thought was very interesting. You said she's really more of a Democrat than she ever was a Republican, right? Steve did.
Spineless, wormy kind of personality here. That's far more Democrat than Republican there.
I don't know how old you are, young man, but I was a woman in the 60s, and they never let us do anything. We couldn't own a business. We couldn't, And you just called me spineless and wormy. How would you like me to come to where you are and put a few Jap knots or whatever you call it? I don't forget what, you know.
All right, we don't need that kind of threats, you know, and...
Well, this guy, you know, he's pissing me off. You know, don't get between a meat and its dog.
Don't get between a dog and its feet.
You correcting me, too?
Ow!
Yeah? You want some more of that? Why don't you get in the room now, okay? Why don't you shut up and you get in the room, Larry?
Mother!
Get in the room!
All right, look, Miss Grover.
Yeah, what's that stutter? Say something, Mr.
Phil
Stutter.
Henry.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Henry.
World famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-7445, and online at philhenryshow.com. Do we have that lady Karen? Is that her name?
Yeah, Karen Dolville.
All right, well, hold on. We'll get to Karen in a moment. And what does she want? Just out of curiosity, excuse me, folks, what does she want to talk about?
She said she's seen you talking on Phil TV about a band, about Hamilton and everything. Yeah, about Alexander Hamilton stuff.
Okay, all right. We're online at philhenryshow.com. If you got a backstage pass, you can watch us doing our video cast, as well as listen to us doing our video cast, as well as listen to us during the breaks. It's an uncensored feed, and at 9:15 Pacific, that would be 12:15 Eastern time when we begin the video cast. We're beginning at about 45 minutes before the actual radio show starts. And during that 45 minutes comes sometimes some pretty explosive stuff. I don't plan it. You know, the Long Island Medium says she doesn't script it, and we all know that she does. But on our little pre-show, our little reality show, our, you know...
Yeah, Long Island Medium is a lying, scum-sucking, no good...
Whoa, man, let's not, you know... But on our show, it's absolutely non-scripted, and some days this camera goes on, and I'm in the worst mood, or in the happiest mood, or I'm feeling very generous, or I'm feeling very this or that, or something else... So join us for that with a backstage pass. You also get over 4,500 hours of over 4,500 hours of our archived audio. You get interviews that we've done. You get access to our comment section where you can make your comments and sometimes interact with me. And that's always fun for a lot of people. And, you know, just a bunch of stuff. So join us at philhenryshow.com. New podcast dropped today, episode 41 of a new podcast. It's Jeff Dowder in National Remembrance Resource Center, National Remembrance Clearinghouse, that's it.
Yeah.
You got to hear this one. It's episode 41 of the Free Phil Henry Podcast, available through our podcast banner on our homepage at philhenryshow.com. All right, Karen Dolville. Karen, how are you?
Phil, thank you so much, dear. I just love your program, and we are excited about listening to you tonight. We've moved into our new home. I don't know if I told you. We're in Adrian Center in North Carolina. And I don't know if I mentioned that. But Herb and I and Jerry has moved in. Jerry and Herb are brothers. Did you know that?
I thought that he was your brother-in-law. I didn't know which the relationship was.
He's my brother-in-law, and we love him. And we just get such a kick out of you. And, Jerry, what did you want me to ask you?
I want to ask the history.
Mr. Henry, I wanted to ask about the history. And
hold on. Have him back off the phone, okay?
Is he too loud? Is he too loud?
A little loud, yeah.
Oh, you're too loud, Jerry. Come here, Jerry.
I want to ask, you talk about Alexander Hamilton.
Alexander Hamilton, isn't it, Phil? Because we had an argument about that.
Yeah, it's Alexander Hamilton.
Yeah, no. Right, but it's not about a Hamlin. Buddy, no. Well, he's talking about a Hamlin. Did you know about a Hamlin? I don't care. Mr. Henry's very busy. You are very busy. And, Phil, we get such a kick out of you. You have made our lives so much brighter and so much more worth living. That sounds a little dramatic, you know?
Yeah, come on, honey.
Herb is telling me not to be so dry. I don't mean, honey, I love you. I love you. But other than the love that I have for Herb, can I tell you something, Phil?
Yeah, go ahead, dear.
I'm originally from Buffalo, New York. And when I married my husband, he said to me,
you're telling stories.
I'm going to tell just a little story. I'm originally from Buffalo, New York, and I met my husband, Herb, at the University of Buffalo. And he said to me, well, let's get married. And I said, okay, and I married this big lug. He said, I want to move back to where I'm from. And, of course, I loved him, and I always believed, you know.
The wife follows the husband, huh?
Yes. That's exactly right. Well, we wound up, ding, ding, in North Carolina. What do you think about that? I'm asking Phil. I'm not asking.
Well, you know what? If you're... Look, I'm, you know, what do I think about that? I think you've got to be happy. And I bet you anything, that guy you're married to, if you said, you know, Herb, I want to move back to Buffalo, I bet you he'd go. Would he go?
Well, okay, I'm going to ask Herb. Herb, honey. We got a Domino's Pizza's here, Jerry. I hope they're a sponsor. Are they a sponsor?
I can't. What did you say?
I said we have a takeout pizza. We got Domino's. I hope you don't have another pizza place that sponsors you.
I don't think so, no.
Okay, good. Jerry! Oh, I'm sorry. Jerry, the door. Herb, honey, come here for a minute, honey.
Okay, and then I got to get going, all right? But I did want to find out about...
No, I want to ask you about Alexander Hamlin.
Alexander Hamilton.
Oh, yes, I want to ask you, but Herb... Mr. Henry wants to know, and you are on your honor, Mr. Doville, okay?
All right, honey.
If I said, honey, I want to move back to Buffalo, what would you say?
I'd have to go.
I want everyone to hear. Oh, my God. This is the first time he's ever said it. What did you say, honey?
I'd have to go.
He said he would go. Oh.
See, I told you. Because he loves you.
Is that because you love me? Look at him. He's blushing. Is that because you love me? Come on, honey. Oh, isn't that sweet? Phil, he's a sweet man.
You sound like you got a wonderful marriage.
Oh, God. The only problem is Jerry, the brother, but that's okay. It's all right, Jerry. Are you having pizza? Do you like the hot... Phil, do you like the hot wings?
What did you want to ask me about Alexander...
Is the name Alexander?
Alexander Hamilton.
Uh-oh. Are you getting upset? I don't want you to get... Phil, I watch your Phil TV. We always watch the Phil TV, and sometimes you get upset. And I don't want you to get upset, dear.
No, I'm not upset. I'm sorry. You may see me on TV getting very gesticulating, you know.
Oh, I love that word. I love people that love words, don't you? I love people that love vocabulary.
Thank you very much, but we want to kind of stick to the point here.
Yes, but don't you love people? Herb, honey, Phil said gesticulating. Don't you love that word? Oh, stop. Oh, God. So crude. He's so crude.
I can almost imagine.
All right. Here's my question. What did you want to ask him? Herb, what is... Alexander Hamlin, you said, did a what? That's what Herb wants to know.
He did a ban. Alexander Hamlin, who was eventually our Secretary of the Treasury.
Yeah, I know that. Herb, you knew that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, Alexander Hamilton was a colonel in the Continental Army, and he led a bayonet charge on one of the British redoubts, or if you will, trenches, that the British had built at Yorktown to defend themselves and to try to maintain control of the mouth of the river there at Yorktown.
Oh, it's a bunch of stuff. I can't remember all of that. But he said a bunch of stuff, honey. He said that it was...
Bill, it's Herb.
Yes, sir.
You mentioned that there was a redoubt, that there were three redoubts the British had at Yorktown.
Yes, sir. There were a number of them. One of them, and I believe that one of the most pivotal, was captured by Colonel Hamilton leading...
He was an infantry, is that right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, because I know that Alexander Hamilton was attached to artillery.
It was infantry attached to an artillery unit that Colonel Hamilton then... took his men, went across this space at a running charge.
With bayonets only, huh?
Yes, sir, with bayonets. And it was actually General Washington.
Okay, that's it. Okay, I'm sorry, he was rude there, Phil.
I was just going to explain to him it was General Washington that gave Colonel Hamilton that command because Colonel Hamilton had...
You're wasting it on me, honey. I don't really care. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that. Did I offend you?
No, you didn't. You know, sometimes I get talking about this stuff.
I know, you know. My father used to go on and on and on about fly fishing, and no one cared. Isn't that what is that, Jerry?
Yeah, remember you died.
Nobody cared. He'd go blah, 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 blah. Yes.
Oh, God. Pathetic.
My father was so pathetic. He'd sit there, go fly fishing this and fly fishing that, and here's how you twist the fly. Sound just like you. Yeah. Well, not just, I'm sorry, Phil, not just like you.
No, that's okay. That's okay. I know that people like me and your father, you know.
My father babbled. He babbled. He just all the time, you know. Listen, Phil, I'm going to let you go, honey, all right? I'm going to let you go.
All right. Thank you very much for calling us, though.
Well, I can't say enough of what we think of you and what we think of the radio show and what we think of everything that you have done for... I just think you really keep a lot of people smiling, you know?
Well,
I just think that. I think you keep a lot of people smiling and you keep a lot of... You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, there have been...
I just think you really do. And okay, goodbye.
Well, I appreciate very much that...
Yes, he's gone.
Okay, well, thanks very much, Karen, you know.
What?
Well, I mean, I'm trying to...
Well, she kind of made a... She kind of made a allusion, or what's the word? Allusion. Allusion to it.
She made an allusion to what?
Well, yeah, I mean, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, well, I blather on too much. Well, of course, I wouldn't want to do that. I only do a talk show. Why would I want to blather on?
Well, I mean, you know, blah, 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 blah about... Yeah, Revolutionary War, like, you know.
I'm so sorry. I won't bore you guys anymore with it.
Oh, come on. Grow up.
No, I'm sorry, you know.
Oh, come on, man. Don't do what you tell us not to do. But Bud, got to man up now.
I'm manning up, okay?
Look at you. I'm going to cry. Yeah, you look like you're going to bawl like a baby.
I'm not going to bawl. I just, you know.
Ha, ha, hallelujah.
Yeah. Hey. That right hand didn't see it coming, did you, man?
That's dirty pool.
Yeah. Oh, man, did I sucker you into that one, man?
Man, you left with a left hand, too.
I did, didn't I? I had the left hand out there, and then boom, came with my right. That's a beautiful move.
Yeah, well, yeah, I love to see you do that. Ow! Again.
All right, we'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show. 877-876-7445. Joe Dickhead and the Professor ahead. They have been a big favorite of ours, a big favorite of yours. Joe Dickhead and the Professor with their picks. NFL weekend picks coming up on the world famous Phil Henry Show. That'll be at the bottom of the hour.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
Welcome back here, the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-7445, and online at philhenryshow.com. That's philhenryshow.com. It is a smorgasbord, a potpourri, if you will, of insight, of out of sight, of the underbelly, of the overbelly. It's all messed up, man. And we're also, of course, available by way of the daily podcast of our show. If you're a subscriber, you get that delivered to your iPod or your whatever the hell it is you want something delivered to. Pardon my language.
Peter, you get scans dirty.
Just don't point it out. So coming up at the bottom of the hour, the return of Joe Dickhead and the Professor with their NFL picks and their special, quote, lock game of the week.
What's so funny about that?
Well, I always got to laugh at the lock game. That basically means this is a guarantee, you know.
Yeah, but you got to admit, Joe Dickhead, he's pretty good.
Yeah, okay, sure. The only reason why we use him is because he doesn't, you know, we don't have to pay for his service. So a lot of these guys want you to give them some advertising comp, stuff like that. Joe doesn't, he just takes the free airtime. And then he goes out and makes his money somehow, some other way. All right, 877-876-7445. Let's take a phone call here. We have Justin on the line. Hey, Justin, what's up?
Hi, Mr. Henry. I was listening to a caller that you had on a moment ago. I guess her name was Mrs. Deauville. And when I was listening to her, it occurred to me that she reminds me an awful lot of my parents. They have friends like that, you know?
Uh-huh.
And
how old are you?
I'm 17.
Okay.
But it was very disturbing, sort of, in a way, because people like that, I mean, adults like that, and I should tell you that I'm
Wait, you said it was disturbing?
Yeah, in a way, sir.
Okay, all right, go ahead.
Well, I wanted to say that I'm 17, and I'm also our senior class president at L.A. Canyon High School.
Okay.
In North L.A. County, and also there was a earthquake. It was a small earthquake today in epicenter of Beverly Hills, I guess, but there was a little bit of, I guess maybe there was a little bit of damage, but we're raising money. Our senior class is raising money for anybody that was affected by that.
That's cool. That's awesome. And very L.A. Canyon High School, huh?
Well, yeah, but I mean, nobody was really affected by it. I just was supposed to say that.
I don't understand.
Well, my senior class is raising money for people affected by the earthquake today that was epicenter Beverly Hills. It doesn't mean it was Beverly Hills. It was like poor people could have been hurt, too. But then we found out nobody got hurt, but they still want me to say it, you know. So.
Who does? Your class?
Well, yeah, the class and our administration.
So they want you to say you're raising money even though no one's been hurt?
Yeah, because I don't know. That's just what they told me to do, because I told them I was going to go on, if I could go on a radio show today, and I got on your show.
Well, that's about the dumbest thing I've ever heard, man, and I'm awfully sorry for saying that.
No, I mean, I agree. But that's Mr. De La Fontaine is our senior class advisor. And Mr. De La Fontaine said, if you go on the radio today, and because he's heard me on some shows that I've been on, we did a student debate over on KJLH and some other stations. And
okay. All right. So Mr. De La Fontaine said, go on the air and say the senior class is raising money for earthquake victims. And today's earthquake was only a 3-point-something, right?
Well, I mean, I don't know what the epicenter, or not the epicenter, what the size, or
the seismographic. The seismographic reading, you mean?
Yeah, but it's called the strength, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know what it was, but no one got hurt, and
well, I heard about it, but I didn't feel it. But I live well north of Los Angeles. And as I said to someone, you know, an earthquake's got to be above a 5.0 for me to feel it.
Yeah, that's nice.
Well, excuse me for boring you, man.
No, I'm sorry, but I just wanted to get to why I called up.
Oh, okay. I mean, I didn't know that you had it. I thought you were calling up about the earthquake.
No, sir, no. I just wanted to say that because Mr. De La Fontaine wanted me to mention it. I mean, you're right. I mean, I think it's stupid, and I will probably get into some kind of trouble on Monday for saying it, but Mr. De La Fontaine, I think, you know, probably always wanted to be on TV or something. I don't know what it is.
All right. Well, Mr. De La Fontaine, sir, if you're listening, thank you, sir, for encouraging our young people to give to people who have been harmed or people who have been injured or otherwise put out by natural disasters. I think that's a very worthy thing. It was probably not necessary to have this young man call me up and do it anyway because there's been no injuries.
Okay. Are you talking to Mr. De La Fontaine?
Yeah. I mean, if he's listening.
Well, I don't know if he is, but if you are, sir, see, Mr. Henry just said that, so you can't really be mad at me because I told you, it's like.
Yeah, you can. Did you say that to a teacher?
Yes, sir. I said, Mr. De La Fontaine, that's way up the butt. He's all like, ha ha ha. They let us say that instead of the other word.
Okay. So, in any event, Mr. De La Fontaine, thank you. What did you call about?
I called because of. Are you going to let me keep talking and everything?
Well, whatever you want to do, kid, or I'll hang up. I'm starting to flip out here a little bit.
Okay, forget it.
Jeez, what is up with people tonight?
Well, you yelled at the kid. You scared him, man.
Scared him? I thought that's what he wanted to call about.
No, he wanted to call about because he wanted to talk about a friend of his mom's who puts her hands all over him and creeps him out. And that Karen Deauville minded him about that.
Bud, what did you just say, man?
Yeah, I understood half of that, man.
Yeah.
I said, I said, okay?
Okay.
I said that he wanted to talk about, okay, here's what I said. That he wanted me, or not me, okay, here's what I said.
Will you get to it? What did he say?
He said that he wanted to call up and talk about a lady that reminds, that Karen Deauville reminded him of, and she always puts her hands all over him and everything.
Is she molesting him or something?
No, but she gives in to creeps.
All right, well, you know, I mean...
That would have been kind of cool to hear.
Well, I guess I raised my voice with the kid.
But maybe you call back.
If you're out there listening, Justin, I'm sorry, but I didn't know what you were... Dude, it was just... It's one of those nights. What can I tell you? All right, so we have Joe Dickhead and the Professor coming up. We'll have our News and Information Hour ahead as well. I want to mention that That's weird. The Lions, Miami, and Milwaukee, and it all came out Miami. The Milwaukee Lions will play live on Wang Radio and Phil TV in HD, the radio call only, on Monday at 1 o'clock Central Time. That's 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time. The Milwaukee Lions take on the D.C. Federal Brigade at Duckworth Memorial Stadium. Jack I. Gagner and Brett Morrison. I got it, bud. Okay. Yes, I see. Okay, man, take it easy. God, you swear to God we're on a sinking ship or something.
He's here.
Great, he's here. Wow.
What are you jumping up and down for, man?
Just to get the kid called back.
Great, he called back. Now look, I'm in a break, okay? And now I did... Anyway, check out the Milwaukee Lions. Monday is when all the Hillbilly Football Conference games take place. Live radio, Wang Radio, and the Phil TV in HD at 1 p.m. Central, 11 a.m. Pacific, at Phil TV in HD at philhenryshow.com. We'll be right back with this big, important call.
The kid called back, dog, right there.
Great. Super. Super duper, man.
Phil Hendry.
In just a moment, we will have with us Joe Dickhead and the Professor, and they will be giving us their NFL picks for this weekend. If you've never heard this particular feature on our program, Joe Dickhead and the Professor, of course, are two NFL football analysts, and along with Harvey Wireman. Has he worked that thing out?
Yeah, he figured it out. Maybe went and got some kind of eyeglasses.
Because Joe Dickhead was not really having a lot of success. It's one thing to be an NFL analyst and an NFL, but if you can't read the names of the cities, like Kinky Natty, does he know that it's Cincinnati?
Yeah, now he does, yeah. Because you were the one who pointed that out to him. He was calling Kinky Natty for a long time.
I can't understand a guy doing that.
What?
Calling a city Kinky Natty. Calling Cincinnati Kinky Natty.
Yeah, well, you sort of can understand it.
No, I cannot understand it. I can't understand any American that even got through the first grade. All you got to do is hear people say it. I mean, you say, where are you from? Cincinnati. So how does some dumbass say it's Kinky Natty?
I don't know, man. I think Joe comes from the other side of the tracks.
I don't care if you come from other side of this. You know, there's got to be some problem there. All right, let me just get back here to this young man here. I do apologize, Justin. I've pushed back this segment on the NFL picks just to hear your story.
I mean, I'm sorry, Mr. Henry. I got, upset. I just wanted, I don't want anybody to get mad at me now because I butted in.
No, you're not. You're okay. We're fine. In fact, talking to the professor, he said that they weren't exactly ready anyway.
Okay. I mean, all I was going to say was that my mom has a friend. Her name's Catherine Blaylock, and she does what that one lady did that you just had on your show a minute ago.
We have Mrs. Deauville.
Yeah, I think that was her name. And this lady that comes to our house and visits my mom, and she is from, I think, she's from where my mom, she's not from the town where my mom grew up.
Where's your mom from?
My mom's from Seattle, Washington. But I think she met her at college.
Okay.
And she comes to our house, and she'll go, "Oh, Justin, oh, oh, oh," you know, and touch my head and everything, and just touch area, you know, just touch me. Not like she's molesting me or nothing, okay?
Okay.
But she'll touch me, you know, like, "Oh, yeah, ooh, ooh, ooh," you know, "Oh, you're so handsome, oh, you're so this and that." And it really gives me the creeps, you know, because she'll have me stand there in front of her every time she comes to visit.
How often is she there?
Well, I mean, she visits my mom probably once a month because she comes down here on business and stuff. But she'll always be standing there, you know, going, "Ooh, ooh, Justin, ooh." And she's always, you know, grabbing my face and squeezing it. You know, so I just think that that's really, I think it's it. I think it's, like, inappropriate. I know it's not, she's not trying to touch my, you know, my genital or, you know, area. Or.
Okay, I understand what you're saying. You don't have to get into that.
Okay, I mean, I'm just not saying that, but she really is, like, always grabbing my face and you know, my ears and taking the dimensions. It feels like she's squeezing my head or, I don't know. And
does she touch any other part of your body? I mean, does she grab your shoulders?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, she always got me standing still, and she's always smiling with this big, like a lunatic smile. And she's all, like that, you know? Let me
ask you a question here for just a moment, okay?
Yeah, but hold on
for a minute. Does she tend to wear sunglasses indoors?
Yeah, she does. She rarely takes them off.
Uh huh. Does she take them off?
Sometimes, but you know that was the other thing I said too. She always like staring at the ceiling and everything. I mean, I just think it's inappropriate for her to.
Okay, well, hold on for a minute.
But she's always grabbing my face.
Hold on. I believe what you have there, Justin, is a woman who is visually impaired, i.e. blind.
No, because she's always like, "Ooh, here's Justin, ooh, look how big you got." What do you mean? I don't understand.
She's blind, man. She's blind.
Well, what do you mean?
What do I mean? She's grabbing your face. That's how blind folks sometimes feel to see what people look like.
Yeah, that's right, man.
Yeah, now I get it. But you an idiot or something?
What are you talking about, an idiot? I mean, is she allowed to squeeze your face and everything?
Is she allowed? No, only what you allow her to do. But your mother has probably encouraged you to stand there and let this woman touch your face, because that's how a lot of folks who don't see that, and then her just grabbing your shoulders. You know how she says you're getting big?
Yeah.
That's how she knows, man. She knows how you were the last time, and now she knows.
I don't know. I'll have to ask my mom about that, you know.
That's stupid. You got to be. You don't know someone be blind.
Well, how stupid are you, man? You don't talk good, you know?
I talk better than you know about a blind one.
All right, shut up, bud, for just a minute, okay? This is not your conversation. This is mine.
Well, I mean, what did you mean about her staring at the ceiling?
I'm just saying that a lot of times folks that cannot see, their eyes go to the lightest part of or whatever it is that they are seeing or whatever it is that they are getting an impression of. Wherever that brightness is, you know what I mean?
Uh-uh.
All right. Well, a lot of times they are looking up because there seems to be receptors, those receptors that still work visually for them that seem to gather light from that area, and the eyes will look up a lot of times. And sometimes you'll see blind people even tilt their heads up. Does she do that?
Yeah, a lot of times she's looking up at the ceiling, and I told her one time, I said, you know, "Mrs. Blaylock, you know, your food's on the plate in front of you. Wow." You know, and then my mom, like, yelled at me, and my dad kicked me.
Your dad kicked you?
Well, yeah. My mom said to get out of here, and as I was leaving the table, my dad, like, kicked me in the butt. And
what did you say to this lady?
It's pretty funny.
Shut up. What did you say?
Well,
Bud.
Well, I mean, I said to her, because we were having dinner with her, and I said, "Mrs. Blaylock, the food that you're eating is down on the plate. It's not, you know, it's not in the light bulb socket in the ceiling." And she's all like, "Rrr." And my mom goes, "Get out of here before I club you with this casserole dish," or whatever she goes. And my dad goes, "Yeah, get out of here." And he swung his foot up and kicked my, and brushed my butt with his boot. You know, that's the closest anybody's come to ever touching me. And my dad didn't molest me, but they asked us one time in school, "Has any adults ever touched you?" And I said, "My dad kicked me in the ass." you know. But
okay, that's all well and good, man. I'm trying to get the story here on this, Mrs. Blaylock. So what happened was this poor woman, who is a friend of your mother's and visits your mom and once a month.
Yeah, but here's where you're wrong, because she's always down on business in the L.A. area and stuff.
Yeah.
You said she's blind.
So what, man? Blind people work in businesses. Blind people own businesses. Okay?
No, that's a bunch of Goodwill Industries baloney. Yeah, that's what Mr. De La Fontaine said when he was teaching.
Oh, wait. Hold on for a minute, man. I'm not going to let you get away with that. That's what? That's a bunch of Goodwill Industries. And what is this about Mr. De La Fontaine? Let me tell you something. Okay?
Oh, God. Are you going to give me a speech?
Yeah, I am. I'm going to give you a speech. But put this kid on hold, will you? I've heard about all I can hear out of him.
That's pretty funny, though.
What's funny? What am I missing here?
Well, I mean, you know, your food's on the plate.
Yeah, okay. It was funny for about 5 seconds. Mr. De La Fontaine, if you're listening, and you, young man, there are plenty of people with all kinds of different physical challenges that own businesses, that run businesses. I had a caller on my show. I'll never forget him. He had a voice that was a mid-range man's voice, and he was saying, "How you doing, Phil?" I said, "I'm very good." He said his name was Bill or something. And he said, "You know, you were talking about this and that." He says, "You know, I run my business." And I said, "What kind of business, sir?" He says, "I have a something." I forget what it was, but he had like 300 employees. He said, "But I have to tell you, I do this and I do that, Mr." And I said, "No, it's very nice." He was a little person.
That is that like with Billy Barty?
Yes, and we don't use the D word, okay?
Man, we get a lot of really politically correct around here.
If we start using the D word, then we're going to go back to using the N word. How do you feel about that?
What? Man, you can't use the N word.
I'll use the N word if you're going to use the D word.
What about the F word?
And the F word's gone too, as you know. We have evolved on the Phil Henry Show. Call us a bunch of stinking liberals. I don't give a damn what you call us. We're not going to. It's a hurtful word for those folks. So he was a little person. You know what I'm talking about, folks. And through this whole conversation I had with this man, which was a good 3 minutes because we were talking about this business that he ran that was relevant to the topic, it never once occurred to me. And I think it came about when I said, "Do you work in the stock room?" He says, "A little difficult for me. I'm a little person."
He say that? He used that word?
Yes, he did. I want to say, wow. And of course, that took it into a whole new direction. He says, "I go to the convention every year. There's a Little People of America convention they have." And as I say, he said, "I have two sons." I said, "How tall are they?" He says, "They're both pushing 6 foot." I said, "Is your wife the same size?" He says, "My wife is a little person, too. We had two sons, and they're both 6 feet tall, and they help me in my business, and that's life, and that's how it goes." So you can see, you know, that the impressions that we do have about people are wrong.
Yeah, but that's not fair. It was on a talk show, and you didn't know you was talking to a dork. Hey, man, said, don't say...
Don't hit him. I'm the only guy that hits.
Get it out.
Don't say that word.
Dwarf, dwarf, dwarf.
I'm going to kick his ass.
Man, you're going to get your ass kicked. Ow! You just abused a disabled person.
That's right, man. Yeah, I did. Yeah, what do you want to call the cops?
Well, maybe not.
Uh-huh. You say that word one more time, you're fired. You understand that?
How come, man? You always say, like, a lot of words.
Well, I just made that executive decision. You know why? It isn't so much that you use the word, it's that you decided that you would purposefully disobey me in front of my entire radio audience, all 8 of them, and,
Yeah.
Anyway, and you made me look like a monkey, okay?
Yeah, you make me look like a monkey a lot of time, too, and besides, you just said monkey.
So what's that got to do with anything?
That's racial. No, it's not, man. I know what, I'm black, and I know that ain't racial.
You're making me look like a chimp. So chimp off. And if you, I'm telling you, use it one more time, bud, you're fired.
I know.
So anyway, that's the story of that. We'll be back. We got Joe Dickhead and the professor coming up next here. The world famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth be is right our back. Bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
we have our picks for the 2012 season, and the professor is with me, right, Professor?
That's right, Joe Dickhead. We do have the 2012 season up and at 'em for this, the 2012 season.
Well, that's what I just said, the 2012 season. Now, the picks that we've got for you feature our special rock pick. Where are my glasses? Where are my glasses? Anyway, our special lock pick for the 2012 season, we will give you our lock pick, the Steelers and the Broncos, if you call this number.
That's right. We will give you our lock pick of the Steelers at the Broncos. We're picking the Steelers, right?
What an idiot! What an idiot!
Why?
You're an idiot! I worked and I sweated and I slaved to pick that game! I worked and sweated and slaved to get the Steelers as the pick for our lock game, and you jackass!
This is the professor, and I guess what I'll do here is just go ahead and do it myself. I mean, I don't know what else to tell you, but I can tell you this much. I think the Broncos have got a chance, but I could be very, very wrong on that. Yes, it's our NFL picks for... shoot.
You're an idiot! I don't even want to go forward with any of these now. I don't want to go forward with it. You idiot!
All right, I'm an idiot.
This... never mind.
This is Professor, and this has been the NFL. Been the NFL picks.
Are you guys done? I mean, you know, you've got all this extra time.
I don't know.
There's no point in me going on with these picks. Because this jackass that's been my partner for I don't know how many years, draining off the funds, drinking up the profits, just like that guy Ted Bell's father, this jackass, our very first show of the year, gave away the lock pick. Do you know the weeks that I spent, the years that I spent, Phil, picking that pick?
Well, you know, picking the Steelers over the Broncos, I don't think that's such a big deal.
And you had to repeat the, what an idiot!
You know, it's not that big of a deal, Professor. It's not that big of a secret, Steelers over Broncos. Okay?
It doesn't make any difference. The Broncos are playing at home. The Broncos may be given a chance by a great many people that support them. The Broncos may be given a chance by a great many fans that they've had. So many of the wonderful fans they've had over the years. Yes, this is Joe Dickhead, stabbed in the back. Stabbed in the back.
I'm the professor, and I did the stabbing. And there's no... Mr. Henry, I'm sorry, but I don't see any other way out of it. I have tried as hard as I could to make him happy. I've even tried as hard as I could to make him love me. But none of this stuff, none of it seems to... None of it really seems to have any kind of... I don't care. Goodbye. I'm sorry. I wish I could have done things better.
No! No!
What is going on?
No, please! Please!
I let you down.
You didn't let me down! I love you! I've always loved you! You didn't let me down!
I'm only kidding.
You idiot! You lousy, dirty idiot!
Is that Shtick?
I don't know. You're looking at me like I know. How would I know?
I asked for a football report segment. I asked for two guys to come on and give us their picks for the weekend, and I hear what almost could have been a lover's suicide murder.
Yeah, it sounded like a suicide.
Oh, is that what you think it was?
I'm pretty sure.
Well, guess what? I just heard him say, oh, I'm only kidding.
Yeah, but then I heard the gunshots again.
I think the two of those guys cooked this whole thing up because they weren't ready. What do you think about that?
What?
I'll give it to you again. I think they cooked that whole baloney up because they weren't ready.
Why not be ready if you get it on an NFL?
Because they weren't ready. Because they were not, because they didn't think they had their picks down, because they didn't think they had the goods. They knew that they were scheduled to go. And they went, and they cooked up a big baloney thing about how, oh, I gave it away, you idiot, I let him down, I shoot myself, multiple shots.
No, it sounded like a real suicide, though.
Oh, did it really? How many times do you got to fire a gun to kill yourself?
Yeah, what if you missed?
What if he missed? That was a that sounded like an automatic going off.
Well, yeah, I'm okay. So,
so what are you? That was a gun that was firing multiple rounds, Bud and Robert. That's not a suicide. That's some guy just sounds like some guy shooting a gun off into the air.
I don't.
Yeah. I think they cooked it up. I think it's bullcrap. And before I have them on again, I want to make sure that they know what it is they're doing. Okay? Do you mind?
Well, I mean.
Do you mind? Just tell them. Do you mind? You know, Professor, do you mind?
Well, he's just like that Bob Bakey, and he won't come on unless he's got an NFL music that he likes.
You know, what is it with these guys got to have their music? I don't understand that.
Bob Bakey and Simon Conjure want to have the music. That guy want to have the music, too. What you want him to say?
Well, get his ass back on the air. Is that why? Get him on the air right now.
Who?
Joe Dickhead. I'm going to find out once and for all why that jackass would not be on, didn't have his picks ready, wasn't ready to go. Is that Joe?
This is Joe Dickhead. Holding for Phil Hendry.
Yeah, okay. If I turn that music off, what happens? Joe, what happens when I... Well, I guess he won't talk, huh?
Pretty much.
All right, Joe. Okay, there it is.
This is Joe Dickhead. Yes, sir, what can I do for you?
I think that you're full of crap. I think you weren't ready to do the football picks.
That is an absolute slander, Phil. That is an absolute slander. And if you call my hotline now, I'll prove to you that it's a slander. I'll prove to you that we were ready for tonight's big game.
Really? Well, then, tonight's big game.
I mean, tonight's big game being the big game that me and the professor actually do, which is what we consider this to be our big game.
All right. Then tell me. Who do you like in the Bears and the Colts?
The Bears and the Colts. The Bears and the Colts. I'll give you that in a minute, Phil.
Put the music back, bud.
Sorry.
Give you the Bears and the Colts here in a minute, Professor. Oh wait, the professor's dead. I shot him by accident after he was kidding about his suicide. But
Oh, do we have to get his music? Do we got to get your music back, honey? Sweetie? All right. Well, Phil Hendry Show. News and information ahead. And like that, that guy, there's something wrong with him. There's something wrong with the professor.
Yeah, the professor's dead.
No, he ain't dead. We'll be back. Phil Hendry Show. Famous Phil Hendry Show here, and it's always a beautiful thing when we hit Saturday here on the West Coast. You guys, you lucky, lucky folks there out east, or back east, as we used to call it, you know, you guys get Saturday earlier than everybody in the USA. So,
what do you call back east?
Back east is what the old folks called it, man. Back, we see everybody used to come out west from back east, you know.
What do they call now?
I don't know, man. They may say back east. I think it's a term, it's a phrase that's losing its currency out west here. I don't hear it that much anymore. Some people say I went back. I went to New York. Some people say I'm going to the East Coast. If people originate from the East and they live out here in the West, a lot of you'll still probably hear younger people say that. I can't. I'm trying to think now. My friend Barry Louise is from D.C. And when she comes out here to the West Coast, she'll say, a lot of times she'll say, you know, back home or back in D.C. But that's, I think, wouldn't that be what you would say, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I come from California. I'd be in China, you know.
Well, you got to be in China.
I mean, I'm just saying, if I was in China, I would say, yeah, when I go back to L.A.
Well, you know, yeah. Yeah, you would. Or you'd say back to the States, you know.
What's that mean?
Yeah, what's that?
That's what you say. You say back to the States. That's what Americans say. When Americans live overseas or they live abroad or traveling abroad And that means in another country, bud, not traveling on abroad. You guys, oh, man.
Well, this stuff I don't know.
You know, but you're almost 20, man. It's stuff you ought to know. Americans will often say, when I go back home, when I go back to the States, when I go back to you never hear an American refer to America as America. You never hear an American refer to the U.S. as America. I just did there as because it was sort of a redundancy that I fell into. But
so we like to say if I was in France, let's say. But where would you ever be there? Well, Sam, wouldn't you ever be in China? Same thing.
Not really, because my economics and everything.
Yeah, hey, bud, you know, Robert's family's got more money than your family. What are you talking about?
Well, I just assume, because, and I don't mean no racial anything, but you're black.
That don't mean I'm poorer than you, man.
Well, okay, then how come black people always talk about being poor?
You know, man, you know, somebody really ought to smack
you. All right, hey, I'm telling you, you know, I'm going to make good on my threat, which is to burn this studio down with you guys in it, and then I'll go off and I will fulfill my dream of becoming just a bait salesman somewhere in Fiji or the Grenadines or something. Okay?
Yeah, but are you really going
to
do that?
You got enough money to do that?
How much money do you need, man, to become a bait salesman in the Grenadines? How much money do you need to buy land? Do you understand? I could go to the Grenadines right now and become a citizen. And do you understand that in the Grenadines, there's a law. If you find any land that nobody owns, you can sit your ass right on top of it and own it.
You can do that in America.
No, you cannot, because just about... What unclaimed land is there in America?
I don't know, man, but if there's... what are you talking about?
I'm telling you that... Let me give you... Well, I want to get back to this whole stupid, ridiculous, jackass, jive-ass, bullcrap thing that you guys were talking about, which is China and abroad and all that stuff, okay? I don't know how we got into it, but in any event, that's what Americans, that's how we talk, okay? So when you say back east, all that stuff.
I don't.
It's an old term that when I say the old folks, like my folks' generation, because a lot of them came out to California after World War II. A lot of them came out here, man. What do you want me to tell you? And a lot of them from the east would say back east. Just like I told you, my old man used to say, I'm going down to the corner for something.
Yeah, that's because he thought there was a corner down there.
Yeah, your dad, was he senile or something?
No, he wasn't senile. It was just a term they use. I'm going down to the corner meant I'm going to the store. But where he grew up in Toronto, Canada, and it was the same if you grew up in New York, it's the same if you grew up in Boston, any big eastern city, there were stores at the end of the block. And you would go down to the corner to get what you wanted to get. So you would go down to the corner to get... You know,
but like that time you told me you sell beer in buckets, right?
Yeah. I mean, my father and my ex-father-in-law told me that as a kid, he used to go down to the corner because his parents were Germans and they were from Germany. They spoke German and his first language was German.
So he's German?
No, he's not German. No.
Well.
He was born in the States.
Was he like illegal?
No, he wasn't illegal. He was born in the States and his first language was German. That's what they spoke in the house. Okay? And then he grew up and he learned English and...
That's why a lot of people in Chicago talk with that funny accent.
Yeah, sure, that's it. All you folks in Chicago, the reason why you talk funny, which you don't, but, you know, according to these guys, is because you probably spoke German at one time and you didn't even know it. All right, enough of that bullcrap, man. Welcome back to the program here, the world-famous Phil Henry Show. This is our News and Information Hour. I've had a hell of a time and I'm... Really, Squarespace, pull it together, will you, baby? You're a fantastic company, and I'm very happy that you help us with our website. But I can't get online to edit my own website for love or money unless I do it through the services of my iPhone. You know, Apple just keeps on making people look bad. They just keep right on making people look bad. Apple, by developing the wisdom of the founders of this company... And the press, the ongoing press to be the very best, to continue to develop applications and to develop systems and to develop softwares to be the best and to make themselves the default go-to beautiful people of the world when it comes to access to the internet, computer devices, mobile devices, etc. Apple has kicked ass on everybody. I don't know if there's a success story equivalent to Apple in the history of this country. Maybe Ford, you know.
Talking about the car?
No, I'm talking about Ford the refrigerator. Yes, the car.
Don't you know about Ford?
Yeah. I mean, Sears? But even Sears can't even touch what the Apple has achieved in a very short time. I am able, rarely does this little device in my hand that I'm holding up on the screen in Phil TV and HD, rarely does this thing fail me. Rarely. My desktop, it's hit or miss, man. I got a Dell. It doesn't make, I got HP, I had Dell, I had Gateway. You know, one of the most reliable computer desktop I ever had was a Gateway. A lot of people laugh at that.
Gateway, man, that's cheap.
I don't care. Gateway, long time ago, probably too far back for a lot of people to remember. Well, you'd have to, like, if you were 14 years old right now, you probably don't remember Gateway. I think most people do. Gateway was a computer company that put on a major advertising push in the late 90s. And by God, they saw a hole, as they call it, in the marketplace. And what was that hole? And they finally exploited it. That computer users up to that time had been talking to each other, not talking to the rest of us who didn't know what the hell it was they were talking about. People that use computers, people that were online, people that were on, you know, things like Prodigy back in the day, and they were running and standing in line for their Windows 95, and they were all blah, 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 talking geek talk. The rest of the real world, the real people, you know, as Jack Nicholson said to Danny DeVito in, you know, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, these are the real people here. See these people here? These are the real people.
Yeah, I love that scene. These are real people.
Right. The real people were you and I, and we didn't know what these dorks were talking about. Gateway came along and said, well, we're going to start talking to those people because there's money to be made. And they said, here, we'll sell you a computer. It will be the easiest thing you ever... Here's what you need. You need a keyboard. Nobody knew how to put a keyboard, a computer in 1998. Yeah, sure, I know you had a son or a daughter or a, you know, whatever the hell you had, a friend who could come over and show you. And did they really show you? You know how it is. They're just, well, here's how you do this, here's how you do this. You didn't know anything about viruses, software, how to use that disk thing. You don't know anything. Along comes a company like Gateway, they say... You need a keyboard, you need to, you know, you need to have your little monitor there, you need your tower drive, here's where you put your discs, we'll sell it to you, we'll package the whole thing, they made it affordable, boom, 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 boom. It was one of the easiest purchasing experiences. You probably paid more than you had to, what the hell? The economy was good, everybody was flush, everybody was going online, and nobody, and I mean nobody, knew what the hell it was they were doing. What do you mean go online? What are you talking about? Nobody even explained. I'll never forget, and I say this with the greatest of respect, but I'll never forget Earthlink coming to me as a potential advertiser. I said, well, what the hell is Earthlink? What is it? What are you talking about, ISP? I've got to explain this to my listeners. Well, you know, Phil, it's that. No, I don't know, and neither do they. Neither do they. I don't care how many dorks you talk to during the day, how many of these jive-ass geeks you talk to who talk dork talk and understand all this stuff. The real people, the humanoids, the people that walk around and, you know, eat with two hands and use a fork and a knife and know how to wipe their chin, they don't know anything about this stuff. So tell me. Well, I got the answer. And how do I say this I got the answer, and the answer essentially taught me that I don't need Earthlink. What the hell do I need them for? And remember AOL? Oh, my God. What a nightmare. There's people I know who still have AOL. You know, they'll go on AOL. What the hell for AOL? More bullcrap than ever before, man. You talk about too much BS. That was it. That was AOL. Big and clumsy and cumbersome. And then let's talk about dial-up. So there was a million things going on. And finally, you know, you start to figure it out. Well, all that stuff comes down to what I'm holding in my hand here, the old iPhone. And if you want smartphones, Samsung, they just lost a lawsuit. You know, Apple has kicked the hell out of all of them. And one of the reasons why I like this, and many people love their iPads and their Apple computers, is they're reliable. They do what you want them to do. There's no bull crap. There's no this. There's no that. A bunch of, here I am. I got an application that works on this. I can edit my website using my mobile. On my desktop, where everything is much bigger and much easier, no, I can't rely on that, man, because guess what? There's something wrong with whatever it is I'm using. I use What do I use on this?
You use Safari.
I use Safari as my internet access on my iPhone. Here, what do I got here? I got Mozilla. You suck. I got Internet Explorer. Sucks. I got Google Chrome. Sucks. I don't know how many times you guys need to hear it, and every time you come along and you're going to improve this and improve that, all you do is make it worse. That's all you do is make it worse. You make it bigger, and you make it more clumsy, and you make it slower, and it has a bunch of stuff nobody cares about, and you're kind of like what I'm getting on Twitter right now. You know, Twitter is beautiful. You got to love Twitter. Now they're at, do you want to advertise to grow your followers? I tell you what I'll do, Twitter. If I see any success, I'm always a guy that's, I kind of wait and see. I see some success stories on Twitter advertising, I'm all in, man, but I'm going to wait and see. I ain't going to be the first chump to give you money for advertising on Twitter, okay?
Well, it just about says it there, man. You're going to start losing followers and everything.
Yeah, I don't think so. All right, we'll be right back with more here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Recap of what happened there in Charlotte, North Carolina.
What was that?
The DNC, Jack. And other news, the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth
Saturday.
Is our bitch. The Phil Gotta Henry Show. Song.
Back here, the world famous Phil Henry Show, and I went off on a tangent there about the computers, and now I have to reboot this piece of crap.
What's going on, man?
Well, what's going on was, as I was saying to folks, I was attempting during one of the breaks when I had plenty of time to do it. I was attempting to do a little bit of editing on my website, philhenryshow.com. This is nothing that affects you guys. It's just I wanted to go and edit something, clean some things up, and...
Dad, probably you want to link that article about the comments you made about the lawsuit.
Never mind about that, okay? I'll talk about that. Yes, my comments about the lawsuit were carried by the radio press. And by the way, my opinions have not changed about you guys in the radio press being real chickens. I mean, you talk about chicken crap. And I love, you know, you guys are nice guys. I love the comment, Phil Hendry never won to be, Phil Hendry always going his own way. What the hell? You know, I don't understand what that means. You mean I got a weird sounding show? All right, I got a weird sounding show. I don't do my show for you. I don't do my show for any of the suits. I don't do my show for any of you slobs. I do my show for me, number one, and for my listeners, number two. And like I said today on Twitter, I said, you know, if I listened to what you and what listeners said to me, I never would have created the radio show that I created in the first place. It never would have happened. It never would have happened. I have great respect for my listeners and for people, but if I listened to the consumer, this show never would have happened. If I listened to you jackasses, it never would have happened. Never one to, a guy to go his own way. Are you kidding me? I got a constitutional right to say the things that I said. I got to do business with these people. I have to go out into the world and I got to make a living, all right? And when I'm associated with an entity that decides they're going to sue everybody and their brother, this side, that side, up one side and down the next, that affects me. And I don't care who they are and how big they think they are. You better believe I'm going to say something about it. And all of this stuff, you know, that people, well, you better watch out about, Phil, the reverberations, you know, and the recruitment. Oh, there may be some, you think, are you kidding? You think that's scary? That kind of stuff scares me. I would love it. I'd love to see it. You talk about a lawsuit. You know, some people need to grow a thicker skin and they need to understand the world they live in. And there's some things you just cannot control in this world. There's some things that you just can't lord over people. And there's some things, my man, that you just don't get to, run the table and rule the roost and run the board here. Other people got a couple of things to say about it, especially when you stumble and you trip and you fall all over yourself and you screw everything up six ways to sunset and everybody's supposed to sit on their hands and then watch you make some jackass move one after the next, and I can't say anything about it? Because why? Because you're some kind of new version of the Democratic fascist? My friend, I'm going to say a whole lot about it. And you clowns in the radio press, grow up, grow a pair, understand what it is you do. You criticize, and by that I mean critique. You understand, as Margaret Gray would say, critique. You critique an industry. They have it in theater, they have it in film, they have it in television, they have it in all the creative arts. Radio should be no different. You guys, however, you take all the records for gutlessness. You don't want to comment any of that stuff. So when Phil Henry opens his mouth, oh, well, geez, what did he, well, look at this. You got to be kidding me. And if you think for one second that business as usual in radio is going to be the way it goes with me, no, it ain't, man, because I got into this, I work my ass off to do what I do. I bust my ass morning, noon, and night to try to do the very best radio show I can do. I learned a long time ago that ain't enough in the radio business. To do a great radio show is not enough. It's not enough, because if the sons of bitches that are the managers and the programmers and the people that are running that are supposed to give you support are lazy as living hell and stupid to boot, brother, you can have the greatest radio show in the world, and we've had one of the great, my show's one of the best that's ever been heard on the air. One of the best that's ever been heard on the air. But if you haven't got anybody that can put 3 cents worth of brains together, forget it. And don't tell me that you don't know what I'm talking about, all you radio press. Every time I used to go to these things, I got guys coming up to me from every radio station, every call. Oh, yeah, Phil's great, Phil's great, Phil's great. Oh, you're so great, 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 great. Hey, Phil, would you keynote? Hey, Phil, would you speak at our seminar? Hey, Phil, would you do this? Hey, Phil, would you do that? You know, people, whoa, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, guess what, man? When the money's on the table, or when it comes time to put the money on the table, all those guys are gone. You know why? Because they're full of crap. Because they haven't got the guts or the brains to do what it takes to support a show like mine. So I'm going to say what I'm going to say, and I'd love it. I mean, I would love to see somebody try to pull some suit bullcrap with me. I mean, I would, you talk about let me just put it to you this way. I got lawyers too, man. I got some good ones. You want a little publicity? I can generate more publicity than you ever seen in your life. I'll get the banner headlines going. Don't screw with me. I'm not screwing with anybody. All I ask for is that people, you know, this is my show. Give me a hand. Help me out here. I need to talk about something. That's all. I don't try to take food out of anybody's mouth. I don't try to keep anyone from making a living. I've never in my life tried to keep it. I've never held a dollar back from anybody, man. Ever. I've never sat there and got fat and stupid while people who depended upon me starved.
What about me?
Other than you, bud. And
not you. Well, I didn't get paid for a while.
That's because you're an intern. Interns don't get paid. Anyway, we'll be right back.
Man, that was pretty good. Are you going to keep talking?
No, I am not going to keep talking about this. It's depressing the hell out of me. I'm going to go now get into some comedy. Hitler and how he took over the Sudetenland. When we come back, I'm joking. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show with more out of the news. Like, how about some Obama-Romney stuff? That's pretty funny. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry.
All right, welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show, and philhenryshow.com. Visit our website and, you know, dig it, you know.
Yeah, enjoy it, man.
Enjoy it. And we've got a lot of stuff happening at our website. Let's start with 4,500 hours of archive material of what is a radio show that we're very proud of, even the stuff we do. Now, you know, as I said earlier, And I'm not going to belabor the point, but I mean, our radio show is evolving out of necessity. You know, as they say, mother being the necessity being the mother
of what?
Of invention.
Yeah, mother's the necessity. Or no?
Every time you guys take something I say.
No, you're right. No, in necessity, the mother of invention.
There you go. Necessity is the mother of invention. That being the case, our radio show is constantly evolving because we have to, and so we endeavor to evolve it. And we're just as proud of this radio show today as we were 22 years ago when we first started doing it. All right, now, in the great country of Pakistan, there is something afoot that may have some interest for our Western listeners. And if you're watching Phil TV in HD, I will move over to that story. There it is. Bail allowed for Christian girl accused of blasphemy in Pakistan. That's right. A Pakistani court granted bail on Friday to a Christian girl accused of blasphemy, a rare development of this Muslim-majority nation, where critics say such allegations are frequently concocted to persecute religious minorities and settle personal scores. When they call it a rare development, what they're saying is it is rare for, I guess, a Pakistani court, to grant the bail.
Yeah, they're saying it. It's not rare to accuse them of it.
Yeah, it's rare to grant bail. Exactly, okay. So she actually got bail. Well, maybe what they're doing is they're recognizing that something's been concocted here, but I read on. Human rights advocates and a coalition of prominent Muslim clerics applauded the court's action while Pakistan's interior minister, Rahman Malik, all but pronounced the girl innocent. He said the accused never left her home on the day 3 weeks ago when a young man claimed that he saw her carrying burnt pages of the Quran in a trash bag in her village outside Islamabad. Under Pakistani law that forbids desecration of the Quran, the girl, said to be 14, could be sentenced to life in prison if convicted. Judge Muhammad Azan Khan set her bail at 1 million rupees, or that would be, how much do you think 1 million rupees is, bud?
Probably about... Like $1 million? Yeah, like $1 million.
No, $10,000.
What?
$10,000.
Wait a minute. How come it's... What? Yeah, what, they make $1 million. They probably make it $1 million, make it sound like it's a big deal.
No, that's the rate of exchange.
What's that?
When countries have a currency, and it is based upon their gold reserve, it's based upon their manufacturing... it's based upon a lot of things. When a country has a currency, then it has value. That currency has value. If you go to another country and you want to buy that other country's currency, let's say you're a Pakistani, okay, bud?
Well, can I be American? I'll be Pakistani.
Okay, Robert, thank you. Let's say that you go to America.
Is he coming to my store?
No, you're not in this anymore.
Why?
Because you didn't want to be a Pakistani.
Well, you know, I was going to not get to do anything.
You're going to sit and listen. Robert.
Yeah.
You're a Pakistani. You want to come to America.
Yeah.
So, you want to get American dollars, don't you?
I can't use no rupee.
Well, do you want to use 1 million rupees for something that's 10,000 bucks?
But what am I going to buy that's $10,000?
All right, let's say you want to buy something that's only 10 bucks. It's still going to be thousands.
Oh, okay. Yeah, all right.
All right, so you want to buy some dollars. Well... How many rupees is that going to cost you?
It'll cost me a lot, I guess.
Exactly. It's going to cost you a lot because the rupee in relation to the dollar is not worth as much. So it's going to cost you a lot of rupees, but you need those dollars. So if you've got 1 million rupees and it's only going to get you $10,000, at some point, man, your rupees, you're going to have to get a whole hell of a lot of rupees to get $1 million, you know? So you probably, if you're one of the wealthier people in Pakistan, you're probably dealing in dollars. You probably have already purchased those dollars while you live in the country. You may have gold. You may have, you've got offshore accounts. You got all kinds of stuff.
But if you're just a regular guy, but well, say you're a rich guy, but you don't have none of that.
See, I guess you're walking around with a lot of rupees in your pocket. That sounds kind of stupid to me. So this woman has been granted bail for that 1 million rupees, or if you will, the $10,500. It's a huge sum for most Pakistanis. And I got news for you there. What newspaper is this? Washington Post. I got news for you. 10 G's ain't exactly all that much of a drop in the bucket for most people, huh?
Yeah, that's true, man.
So if somebody's in jail and you know them, and they say, let's say one of you clowns get thrown in jail.
For a $10,000 bail, I don't know what I've done.
I don't know, but let's say you need 10 grand.
Can you get us out?
Yeah, I can get you out. I can get my hands on $10,000. That's only because I'm wealthy. I'm kidding.
Yeah, you are.
No, I'm not. But I'm saying, as an average, I am an average American. I can get my hands on 10 G's to get somebody out of jail, okay? I think most Americans could in a pinch. We got credit cards. We got a lot of ways we can do this. And there are a lot of Americans that can't. And of course, that's you know, this is going to sound really, this is a typically American problem. But the fact that most the fact that there's any American alive that would not be able to get their hands on $10,000 if they really, really needed it, the fact that there's anybody out there in America that can't do that, that is, to me, that's a disgrace.
Are you kidding, man? Why?
Because I don't think that's a big load of dough, man. I think any American ought to be able to get their hands on 10 G's if they really need it. If you got to bail somebody out of jail, if it's a doctor bill that has come due, there ought to be a way that every single solitary American should have their access to $10,000. I'm not saying the government needs to give it to them. I'm saying the employment, I'm saying the rewards for working in this country should be commensurate with every American at least being worth 10 G's at any given moment. You know, that's not a lot of bread. But I know that that isn't the truth. I know that there's a lot of people that don't have that money.
Yeah, that's only on account of they drank it up and used the drugs.
Yeah. All right, I'll give it to you. There's a lot of people that got drug problems, a lot of people with booze problems. Those are people that, I'll tell you something right now. In this country, in the United States of America, the argument is over the following. It's not over whether somebody is a drug addict. It's not an argument over whether somebody's an alcoholic. The argument in this country is over the guy that can't get his hands on that $10,000. Why can't he? Forget about the drug addict and the alcoholic for a moment. On the liberal side of the equation, he can't get his hands on that $10,000 because as close as his hand may get to it, it keeps getting yanked away. And it keeps getting yanked away.
Yeah, that's that thing.
Me too.
All right. The Republican version of that is that the $10,000 is sitting there and that guy needs to push himself a little bit harder to grab it. Now, in a nutshell, I just gave you the difference between the two political parties, the two political forms of thought in this country.
What about a drug addict?
Now, when you take the drug addicts and the alcoholics, they fall into a category themselves, depending upon whether you are a Republican or a Democrat. For the Democrat, the alcoholic and the drug addict is the victim of a disease, and I happen to agree with that. However, the Republican also believes that the drug addict and the alcoholic is the victim of a disease. So now...
But wait. What? So there's no difference.
Wait. I didn't finish. So now the argument is about curing. Aha!
Oh, I see what you want to say.
Yeah, that they don't care about it?
Well. Republicans and Democrats used to argue about whether this was a disease. It was the ones, you know, some people believe. So now we know. Now we know that we've got a problem. It's a drug addiction problem. But the Republican believes that the drug addict needs to push himself more toward the cure. Same thing, right?
And a Democrat believes that a drug addict, they don't have the cure nearby.
Exactly. The cure is not put close enough to the drug addict. Now, you got to know a little bit about how things work in America, especially when it comes to food and drugs. And in that particular argument, I also would favor the Democrats. And I'll tell you why. I know a little something about it. I happen to know that the pharmacology is there that could help. And I mean drugs that could help alcoholics and drug addicts. It's very expensive. It's very, very expensive. Okay? And there's nothing in place right now to get this to people. There is no real aggressive move toward, let's get this stuff tested. It's 2 years between the time a drug is developed and the time the FDA approves it. 2 years, man. Now, I'm not saying those are two wasted years, but I would like to know as a consumer why.
What about what?
About why it is a drug is developed and it takes it 2 years before it gets approved by the FDA.
Maybe it ain't no good.
If it ain't no good, then why does it take 2 years to figure out it ain't no good?
Maybe there's drugs ahead of it.
Maybe there's a lot of red tape. Have you thought about that?
You're thinking like a Democrat now.
I'm thinking like a Democrat. Whoa, that's interesting. How am I thinking like a Democrat?
Well, you want to get drugs for free to people.
Wait a second. I thought that's a Republican problem.
What is?
All the red tape, all the bureaucracy, man. Ain't that a Republican thing?
Yeah.
Okay. Then you Republicans, 2 years between the time a drug's developed, the time the FDA approves it, why isn't it faster? Why aren't you guys working harder to get that drug developed to get that drug approved or not approved so we can get some of these drugs into the hands of people who are suffering from these horribly degenerating diseases like alcoholism, like drug addiction, like a lot of things. We all know it's about the chemistry of the brain, and there's pharmacology developed all the time.
I don't know what you mean by pharmacology.
Drugs for the head, man. Drugs for the head, baby.
Talking about LSD.
No, I'm not. Why'd you say that?
Because you're all going, man. Hey, man. Hey, man. You're all like, man.
Get out of here, you clown. So there, I just gave you my economic lesson.
I got that, you know, I like working on the Phil Henry show because you'll tell stuff about, you know.
Yeah.
I'll tell stuff about what, bud?
Just, you know, tell. By the way, you say it, though, you'll talk about it, you know.
Yeah, okay. That's.
Yeah.
Yeah, great. What did you say?
No, I'm just talking about how you say the time you talk about everything.
Uh-huh.
But that's what I like. Yeah, I mean, I like it too.
Yeah, okay.
What?
Never mind, man. I don't want to go any further. I'm taking that as a compliment. I'll take it, and that's a groovy thing. All right, we'll be right back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show with more on this News and Information Hour. Any other questions for you guys?
No, I'm good.
All right, we'll be right back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
Man. I just think it's good, man. You know? Yeah, no, that's, thank you.
This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Tell me what?
You want to know?
Hold on for a minute. I've got to turn a fan. Yeah, David, what's going on? Yeah, that's right.
Well, finish it, will you? You're sitting there talking to Bud and Rob. I don't know what the hell it was you guys were talking about. I'm sitting there with one of my clients. This guy, hold on, I'm going to talk just a second. I got a Pakistani.
What?
I'm sitting with a Pakistani.
I can't hear you, man.
I'm not going to yell it. I got a Pakistani broad with a client.
Yeah?
She wants another SSRI.
What's that got to do with her being a client?
Well, don't you want an advertiser?
Well, what's she going to sell?
Oh, get a load of you. What, are you afraid you're going to have to sell curried rice or something? She happens to own a men's clothing store, okay? Mr. India First. And
I didn't say that, man. I was just curious what was the thing.
And if it wasn't good enough, were you going to tell me just to go ahead and pound sand that I'm on my own with this packy? No way.
Will you watch it with the packy? God almighty, David. That's going to get back to her.
She don't even listen to your show. I'm going, you know.
Oh, well, I guess I'm lucky, huh?
Are you going to do a whole big thing with me right now? I got a Peggy on the line. It's going to be.
What?
I said I got a Peggy on the line, and she's going to do.
If this is about you getting laid...
Boy, you got some kind of a filthy mouth on you. Are you on the air?
No, I'm not on the air. You just heard me on the air, but no, I'm not.
All right, okay, so you're on the air. Why don't you finish with the Pakistan story, and then you and I can talk after the show about all the filth that you want to talk about. Get all the dirty, filthy details.
Well, what are you going...
Because I didn't, because Ms. Gray said to me that I yelled too much, and I wanted to use her technique, you know.
Which is whispering, even though people can turn the radio up.
Will you just listen to me? This is Mickey. Okay? Phil, are you there?
Yes, I'm here!
What are you doing? I'm trying to keep it low, will you just... Okay?
What?
Don't yell! Yeah, I'll be right there in a minute. I'll be right there. Yeah, it's beautiful, Connie. Her name's Connie. That doesn't sound like a Pakistani name, but I think she probably shortened it from Kamadutula Papapa. You know, I don't know. But anyway, what I'm saying, are you hearing me?
I can hear you, David. Hurry it up, man, okay? Time's burning, all right? Time's money.
Oh, okay. Yes, sir, J.P. Mr. J. Paul Getty. Yes, sir.
Why are you dropping down into that Debbie Daly voice?
Because I don't want to hear me. I'm just trying to say that the Peggy, you know what I mean, the Peggy, right?
Yes.
Okay. When you don't mean that, you okay. The Peggy is kind of, yeah, you're right, got to hold my ashes.
You're going to hold your what?
My ashes.
Okay. Then you just said the F word.
No, I did not.
Hang up on him, will you, before I go nuts?
That was the stupidest thing what I ever did here.
Yeah. Anyway, this is for Mr. Hall's date, Connie. Here's the story, Connie. I just blew it for him. Oh, man, he's going to flip his lid. Finishing up the pack of stamps. What is with him anyway?
What do you mean?
Well, you're a Miss Gray, and she whispered a lot of stuff. He thought that pretty good technique.
Yeah, I mean, we tried to talk him out of it.
We did.
Well, he just sounded like about 300 yards of jackball there. All right, what are you laughing at, bud?
300 yards of jackball.
All right. Anyway, under Pakistani law that forbids desecration of the Quran, a girl could get, you know, 85 billion years and lashed with a wet noodle or something. But Paul Bhatti, who heads Paul, huh? Get a load of that.
Pretty high-class name for Pakistani.
Anyway, yeah, Paul. Paul Bhatti, who heads Pakistan's Ministry of National Harmony, what the hell is that, predicted that the girl would be released within a day from the high-security adult prison in near Rawalpindi. Oh, Rawalpindi, that's a very famous... Pakistan. Don't you use that word just because he does. Where she's been held. Muslim leaders across Pakistan have united against this type of discrimination that is targeting the Christian community, Bhatti said in an interview. I'm very hopeful for that and very happy that justice has prevailed. Well, that's very nice.
Yeah, I mean, that's too bad it happened in the first place, though.
But you see, that's what a push toward democracy brings about. That's what a push, giving the people a voice. Look at that. Those aren't radical nutcase, Islamists. Those are people, man. They're people who just happen to have a religion called Islam, and they are united to help save this Christian girl. Maybe they need to amend their law over there, man.
Yeah, it sounds pretty stupid, man. You go,
yeah, put her in prison for what? Having a burnt page in a garbage can?
It was the Quran. That would be like if you burned the Bible.
You know, a lot of people want to kill you for that, though.
There may be. See, that's the thing. In America, there's a separation of church and state to the point that even if I burned a Bible and there were people that wanted to kill me for that, they, not me, they would go to jail. Because in our society, not only have we separated church and state, but we recognize, quite frankly, the burning of paper, even if the words on it are of the Word of God, we can make a lot more Bibles than we can, quite frankly, people. All right. In the past, officials have been reticent about speaking out against the blasphemy laws, but this case is unusual not only because of the girl's age, but because of the reports that she is mentally disabled. Malik, who delivered a report on the case to the Pakistani Senate on Friday, said that although the defendant is 14, her mental state is 7 years old, and she hasn't the mental capacity beyond that of beyond a child of that age. After word of her alleged crime spread through the mixed Muslim-Christian community where her family lives, a mob threatened to burn the girl alive. Good God. Police later said they were arrested, that they arrested her for her own safety. Last week, the imam of the neighborhood mosque was arrested after a witness accused him of mixing pages of a Quran into the bag of ashes that the girl carried. Christian residents said he planted the evidence as part of a campaign to get Christians to leave the community. Several hundred have fled since the girl's arrest. See, this is the kind of bullcrap, backward jazz. And I don't really care. I don't really care. But this stuff gets into the American press, gets into the press of the West because of the fact the girl's a Christian.
You mean she's just another religion, nobody cares.
Well, I mean, we're not talking about some in America, you know, there's nobody up there saying, aha, report that because the Ministry of Information wants you to only report about Christians. It's of interest to people in the West. Why the hell do you think I'm talking about it? There wasn't no...
What about the Jewish people controlling the media?
There ain't no Jewish people controlling the media. No, nobody told me to read that story. I did. Why? Because I figured it would be of interest to a Western Christian audience. Yes! The world-famous Phil Hendry Show is produced by Dan Northcraft and me, Phil Hendry, for your ultimate edification, enjoyment, education, and like that. The content is solely my own, blah, blah, blah. Don't forget the Milwaukee Lions on Monday starting at 1 p.m. Central Time at Phil TV and HD on Wang Radio. All right, till then, let that be a lesson to you. Have a great weekend, you guys.
Yeah, you too.
Whatever that means.
Phil Hendry.